The Daily Profit Podcast, brought to you by top direct response copywriter Jason Wellington Strawn, aka the Copywriting Prince. Join the conversation at www.thedailyprofitpodcast.com and remember to like and subscribe. Thank you.
Hi there, and welcome to the Daily Profit Podcast. All right, today we have a special guest, Donny Bryant. A really, really top copywriter I've been keeping a close eye on over the past couple of months. I first met Donny, I saw him giving a talk on copywriting with a lot of established experts. And he was just sitting there freestyling and reading off so much knowledgeable concepts. I was quite amazed. And I thought, you know what, I've got to get in touch with this guy. I've got to get him on the show. So Donny, you know, thanks for coming up. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Jason, I really appreciate the chance. I've caught your first few episodes, and I'm loving what you're doing. And I've been watching you probably three times longer than you've been watching me. So it's an honor.
Cool, man. All right, so what Donny's going to share with us, the tip Donny's going to give you today to help boost your profits is something that he does, which is really, 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 really cool. He actually has a method of researching the market to come up with a really powerful idea that cuts through the clutter, gets his clients' messages seen, gets the response, gets them responded to, and helps him achieve the massive results that he achieves with his clients. So, Donny, explain a little bit how you go about doing your research to find a big idea for a promotion that is so vital to getting the attention for your marketing pieces.
Yes, let me just right before I kick into this, express how important it is to do research.
Yeah,
I think
most
a lot of
people
times,
don't do any.
I think research makes the difference between a okay piece and a piece that really kicks rear end.
Correct.
But most of us are lazy. I'm pretty lazy too.
And yeah, same.
I'll admit. I don't necessarily research because I'm not lazy. I research because I don't have any good ideas just sitting in my head and I have to go find one.
Right, okay.
And I've been a copywriter for not quite a decade yet, but I've kind of grown or developed a sense of what other people will find interesting and what they won't. So yeah. I think a lot of copywriters and people who are writing copy, they don't consider themselves copywriters, but they have a business and they got to send an email today because they need to make some money so they can pay their bills.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't go looking for research. They don't go looking for interesting stories. They don't go looking for those startling statistics that are going to grab people's attention. They just say, I got to sit down and write something. And
that
they
makes
talk
them
about.
Yeah.
Yeah, they talk about the product details. Talk about how cool the steel is that my widget's made out of, and maybe that matters, but probably not. People are not really interested in the steel. So it's incredibly important, not only for having a wealth of ideas, but having a uniqueness. To your message, even if you sell something that's the same as everybody else, like in a category that you have close competitors, the advantage that you can have over them in your messaging is doing better research.
Yes.
Even a good copywriter versus a good copywriter. If it's you versus me, and you decide you're not going to do research this week, that'll be my chance to beat you.
Correct.
And vice versa. I mean, you might be able to beat me anyway. But if I'm taking the week, and I'm gonna goof off, or say I kind of got this in the bag. I know what I'm gonna do. And you say I'm gonna go find some research that's killer. I'm gonna find a statistic that the reader's not gonna be able to ignore. It's gonna prove my case for me and make this thing a must buy.
Yeah.
Then you're gonna win, regardless of anything else. You have a pretty huge advantage when you do the research. So that's why we've developed the Donny Bryant method, if we can call it that, of doing research.
Cool. Are there any particular websites that you like to look at, or any particular tabloids, or where's your normally your first typical ports of call when you start to research a product? For example, for the average business owner listening to this.
For me, because for me, it's pretty much an everyday thing. I'm writing in the financial space. I really don't do anything else. So I'm looking for financial stories.
Okay.
Or I'm looking for political stories because the audience, my audience is interested in both things keenly.
Okay.
So for me, there's news sites. But I kind of like the crazy news sites.
Mm.
Like, have you ever looked at Drudge Report?
Drudge Report, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Drudge Report. They're just good at coming up with, and they always kind of lie to you about what the story is. but you can kind of get ideas just by looking at the headlines and the links to the story. They'll give you an angle that is weird. They'll bring the most salacious and most scandalous stories to you that they can find, and they kind of do it all the time. So you've got a constant source of hot stories and weird angles and emotional angles.
Yeah.
They're not just telling the events that have happened, but they're telling you, they're trying to find something that's going to upset someone. I saw an article, it was in the Washington Post, so it's not like a weird site, like a weird source rather. But, you know, it says Donald Trump is a test tube baby. He has no parents.
Yeah.
So you can find, if that just sparks an idea, and I probably couldn't go and write a package about how Donald Trump has no belly button. That wouldn't work.
But you take the elements of it. Yeah.
Yeah. You can so many times find a quote inside that article. It's on CNN.com or it's in the New York Times or it's in Financial Times, whatever. And like I found one, I can't remember, it was from some financial guy in Europe. And he says there's three categories of people when it comes to Donald Trump getting elected. One of them is the oh my God, this is terrible camp.
Yeah.
So it's like for a subject line, oh my God, this is terrible in quotations, that's going to get opens.
Yeah.
And you know it inherently because you know your audience, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
So I always start with sites like that. I like MarketWatch. I like Zero Hedge also because they have a way of finding. It's always doom and gloom for them.
Yes.
But so you actually have to read into it to find what the real truth is. But there's almost always some cool chart or quote or something, and that will give you the seeds of an idea. Or sometimes it'll hand you most of the idea. There's great statistics in there. For example, I found one. I shouldn't be sharing this because someone's going to steal it from me. one of your brilliant audience members will say, "Oh, I'm going to use it."
Hey, whoever's listening, don't steal his idea, okay?
Leave you know what? Alone. That's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to do, to make sure your audience gets richer. So,
all right, cool.
And my current clients, and hopefully they don't, wouldn't probably let me run this anyway because it would kind of go against the thing we're trying to sell. But, you know, it said 60% of these American stock market gains, I think it's just the American ones, 60% of the gains over the past 8 years have come as a direct result of the Federal Reserve not boosting the rates. So, like, within a couple days of the day when they decide to raise or not, 60% of the gains have happened within a couple days. So if you ignore the market every day, except for when the Fed's about to make an announcement, it probably isn't as true now. But over the past 8 years, you would have gained 699 points on the S&P.
Oh my gosh!
Just by trading on those days, and on the rest of the days, you know, you've got, you know, next to nothing in terms of profits.
So that's compelling. So exactly, if you read an article, you discovered that little bit of market data, you know, you can use it, and that feeds into your solution. That can be a perfect lead.
So if you know, if you want to talk about the market being manipulated, which a lot of people are kind of thinking anyway, you know, they say, well, watch this. I can prove it. I can show you a chart. I can show you statistics. I can give you a quote that says the primary reason for all of the gains over the past 8 years, I think 8 years, have come because of the Fed tinkering with this little toolbox. And Pat shouting from the podium, we're not doing anything, we're here to fix things. And then the stock market. So this stuff is something like that.
Mm.
For me, I haven't written that piece, so if I see it out there, I'll know it was somebody, somebody who was listening to you or was listening to us.
Mm.
But I'm not overly worried about that because the stories.
So what do you think? What do you think is the dominant emotion? You see, in those type of big idea leads, what do you think is the dominant emotion that's grabbing their attention? Is it the fact that you're showing them that they're being screwed over, or is it the opportunity to get inside information? What do you think the trigger is there emotionally that grabs people?
I love fear. Mm. It's proven as a psychological fact. Mm. People are twice as motivated by the fear of loss than they are of the promise of gain.
Correct.
You know, and I believe, even though it sounds so negative, but I think if you offer a solution at the end, it's scary out here. The truth is scary sometimes. Mm. You have to find the scary part. Mm. The truth is scary, but there's a solution, so you don't have to be scared.
Yeah.
So I love to lead with fear or something that will make you feel anxious. You have to, and a lot of times, if you say, oh, you can make $1 million here,
mm-hmm.
you may or may not believe that. You may or may not actually care about making $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
But if I said, we're coming for your million. Coming for the money that you've already earned. Yeah. We're coming for your house.
We're coming for your nest egg.
Take what's yours.
Yeah.
I'm coming to steal your clients.
Mm.
I'm coming to steal your business.
Mm.
Then you have to pay attention because it's like a threat to you.
Yes.
We all activate the
reptile brain gets going, doesn't it? Yeah.
Right. You have to respond to that. So it's like, I'm good where I am. Like, I have clients, and you probably do too. They come, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And you're like, I don't have time for that. I don't care. Like, seriously, I respectfully decline because either you're not talking the right kind of money, you're not talking the kind of project I want to work on, you seem like a jerk, and I don't want to work with a jerk, or I just don't have time for it. But if somebody said, I'm coming to take your number one client, and I'm gonna steal them from you,
mm-hmm.
well, you're going to respond to that right away.
Mm-hmm. It's almost, it's not even like you have a choice, really. It's like the reptile brain just automatically goes into gear. I think that's why it works as well. Because it's happening subconsciously. It's like automatically you're on the defensive.
And that's all you've got. It's just that fast. There's a threat, and you go into defense mode, or you go into at least paying attention mode.
Mm. Correct.
Yeah. You know, good stuff is floating by all the time, you know. And sometimes you pay attention to it, but you have no shortage of things. You, like, if you miss that one, I'll get the next one.
Yeah.
But the next threat could kill you.
Mm.
Now you got to spend 30 more years, you know,
build your nest egg back up again. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, so for me, I always look for stories that have, I think there's a seed of both in whatever you find. Something's horrible. Well, what's the solution? Now we can fix that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you find something that's good, what's the thing that will prevent you from getting that good thing? Or why aren't you getting that thing that everybody else is getting that's good? Or the thing that's readily available to you that you can't seem to get your hands on right now?
Yeah. I think you've stumbled onto a really, really, really core and powerful idea here with copy. Ideally, the one idea you really want to get through in any piece of copy is that as you're communicating to the prospect, and you want to let them know that you are screwed unless you get this.
Yeah.
Essentially, when it comes down to it, no matter what it is you sell, that is the picture you want to paint. Okay? They basically are stuffed. They will not get to achieve X, okay, unless they buy your product. That's the only way they will find salvation, in other words.
Right.
It's kind of similar to religion in some sense.
Well, you're right, and that's true from across pretty much any industry. If you're talking about dating, that pretty girl that you like, you see her on the bus stop or in the restaurant all the time, and you're going to be watching her with some other man, it's going to kill you.
Yeah.
It's going to kill you to see that. But if she could be yours, this is so sexist, right? She could be yours, or this dude, the dude that you like, he's in class with you, and he's always talking to the cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could be the one he's talking to, but you got to do this, otherwise you're going to have to watch with jealousy.
There you go.
Or we're talking in automotive, like, and I've never worked in that space, but, you know, if you keep buying that cheap oil, your engine's going to break down, and you're going to stall out on the highway, and you'll probably get run over by a semi-truck. Or you could.
There you go. You can either buy the product now, or you risk getting run over by a truck.
Exactly. The longer you play around with this thing, it only takes one time for you to have an accident and literally be splattered across the pavement on a highway.
There you go.
Keep flying that airline, yeah. And you're going to crash into the Pacific Ocean and never be found. Your wife's going to be crying. Your kids are going to be destitute. Do you want to do that? You don't want to do that.
I'd rather pay the $47. I think.
Yes. See, but that's exactly the point. You have to make them make a choice.
Yes.
Because they'd much rather read your email and go back to their regular life. Like, I don't care about that. So again, you have to tap into that response, the mental response. Mm-hmm. I need to do something about it. And it may not happen in one message, but you kind of raise their awareness. Oh, this is crazy. And then you get hit them with the next one. So it has to be a powerful picture that you're painting. So yeah. I think that's another issue that people have. You just want to share information. Mm-hmm. When your marketing message almost has to be, like, it's not information for you to know. Mm. We talk about information-based marketing. We don't give you information to know it. We give you information to do something about. Because you have to do something.
Mm. I think that's a distinction that a lot of marketers make, where they think, if I just keep giving out, for example, when it comes to actually making a sales message, if you just give out content, useful information, that you'll get sales. But it doesn't work that way.
I want those people to start restaurants where they give out lunch for free and hope that I come back and buy dinner one day.
Yeah. I could do with seeing a few of those. I'm kind of hungry.
You know, I give away a ton of information, and I almost never sell anything in my own newsletter. Like, I just don't. I don't have anything to sell you, and I don't really have an interest in working with everybody as a client. I'm kind of overbooked now as it is. Mm. So I don't care. Like, I'm giving away information out of the goodness of my heart, and because I want to talk, I need somebody to listen to me. So that's how I do it. Yeah. And so I'm not saying don't give away free information, but realize that the point is ultimately to drive people to buy, and you're going to have to make that happen. It's not going to just—they're not going to trip over themselves one morning. Say, I need to give this person money because he keeps giving me information. I got to reciprocate. I think that's an error that we have. Reciprocation is real, but it's like you have to ask.
Yes.
Eventually, you're going to have to ask.
Yes, agreed. 150%. And I think that's the problem that a lot of people have. It's actually they're bad. A lot of people are bad receivers. I think a lot of people talk about, and the problem with social media is it kind of highlights a lot of the bad sides of humanity a lot of the times.
Yes.
Thing is, though, there's a lot of good people in this. I'd say the majority of people are good in this world, to be perfectly frank. Sure. Too good. And when it comes to business, they're a bit too good because they often want to give and give and give and they just don't want to ask, which is like, come on, man, you deserve to get paid.
Yeah, and really your wife is looking at you like, I wish this dude would ask. I'm telling you know why I'm telling you that? Because I've seen it. Yeah. Where somebody calls me, this hasn't happened in a while because I don't like that look, which is why my salvation comes from, hey, my wife's not going to give me that look or ask you that dreaded question, are you billing for that? Yeah. And then when I got to say no, and she's like, okay, all right, I see how you are. Uh-huh. You're not going to buy me that new purse that I wanted to buy because you're giving that dude free information. And then I'm like, oh, okay, guy, I got to send you an invoice for this.
Yeah, like, getting married is definitely the solution to that problem.
For many problems, right? Your kids are so cute, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, they're all right, except when you have to live with them. Then the cuteness fades away a lot. Yeah, especially when you have to do the school run in the morning and get them up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank God. We got buses that come right to the door, so.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's good. Kick them straight out. Wish out there. There. So another thing, going back to the big idea, right? You know, when the market is competitive, like your market, for example, is the most, I'd say it's probably the most competitive market for the financial space. How do you, so that's probably the reason why you spend so much time doing research, I guess, right?
Now, that's a lot of, there's so much information out there.
Do you spend a lot of time going over their current promotions as well? Are you like a stalker of all of their newsletters and stuff?
Yes. Yeah. I told a couple of people, I don't remember where I was when I said this, but I probably spend 6 hours a day reading.
Oh, wow. Or other promotions?
And 2 hours writing. Like between doing my research and between reconnaissance on the competitors, 6 hours. Then I spend about 2 hours writing, except for when I've hit on the idea.
Yes.
Or the deadline is tomorrow. I can spend 6 or 8 or 10 hours pulling everything together. Most of the time, I don't write for 10 hours straight because I think that's bad form. Mm. You don't, you're not on your top. You're not at your top at the top of your game after,
after about the first 3 hours, you'll see it start writing pure crap after
that. That's about right. Same for me. So, but yeah, it's 5 or 6 hours every day. And I know people think I'm goofing around. It's not Facebook on my computer most of the time. Like, I might pop on there once in a while, but for the most part, and I even took Facebook out of my phone because I want to look at it, and then it breaks my chair phone. So, you know, it's seeing what the other people are talking about and seeing how other people are treating that thing. You know, the Fed's going to make a decision. Now, now, I don't know if they know that all the gains are coming from the Fed raising rates or not. But I know. But I want to see how they're talking about it and how they're going to approach it.
Do you go into the forums? Are you studying their reactions?
I don't do enough of that. I'm primarily just looking at their marketing materials.
Oh, okay, right.
So, you know, that's a great point. I should be getting into, and I read the comments, especially on like Weiss Research, where Clayton Makepeace does. You know, I go and look and see what kind of things people are saying. Now, people aren't commenting on the marketing stuff. They comment on the editorial stuff, and you can kind of see if our audiences overlap. I can see where if there's a consensus of people thinking something or saying something. Or disagreeing with something, because it's really important not to say something that's going to totally clash with what your audience believes, because they won't believe it. They're not going to start believing it because of an email you sent.
That's correct. Totally correct. That's a big thing as well. Always try as a copywriter, you're always trying to take what's there and work with it and massage that what's already there. Never try and create a new belief or educate them in any way. Or argue with them in any way. I think you just want to take what's already studying approaches, find out what they're already reacting to, find out who they're already mad at, who they already hate. Yeah. And you want to work exactly in the same framework that's working. Just take them down, just do it in a different way. I think that's definitely the key.
Yeah, right. There's already a river of emotion and a river of belief. You just put your boat on that river, and now you got to pick, you know, where your destination is on the river. How are you going to get there? But you're not. It's a stupid idea to try and dig a canal. It takes millions of dollars and a lot of time to change their desires and their beliefs. But once you get in there, you can get them on your side. And you can point out something they didn't know before. It's the only way you change people's mind. I'm convinced of it. Like you in an argument, you've never changed anyone's mind ever without a pistol. And the pistol doesn't always work either. They'll lie to you, and then when you leave, it's like, hey, I never agreed with what he said. But if you get into the stream of thought where they are, and you say, well, have you considered this? Which is where that statistic or that quote comes from. I said, this guy who you have so much esteem for, he might have been pointing out something that you weren't aware of. That's how you have to, well, you have to do the research. You have to know what they know and don't know. You have to know what they believe and don't believe. And then you have to find something that directs what's already going, like you said, the stream that they're already in, and somewhat, you know,
it's almost like a pivot, isn't it? It's almost like a pivot. You have to you start off with what they're with something that they don't know already. That's how you start off with your big idea, something they don't know. And then what you're doing is you're adding layers using what they already know and building upon what they already hate and what they already fear and what they can agree with. And then you kind of pivot, don't you? You kind of
it's the best way to describe it. Yeah, is you just pivot. From where you've already come to agree. Yeah, you're right about all these things. We're on the same side. You have to. Sometimes you can grab their attention by saying something that totally goes against what they think. But you can't stay there. Because they'll tune you out. It's like, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't like crazy people. So, the subject line, the headline that you write can be something totally shocking. And in that case, if it's shocking and interesting enough to, sometimes they'll be angry enough that they have to read the first part. Like, what kind of idiot says things like that? It's the same thing we're talking about the election. People who hate Donald Trump can't stop reading stuff about Donald Trump. What idiotic thing did he say or do today? Or people who don't like Hillary Clinton. What kind of scandal is she hiding in her emails now? Or what kind of, you know, insults is she hurling behind closed doors? Or what's going on with her health? Like, I can't wait to see her, you know, hobble up on stage. People are just like that.
Yeah.
So you already know how they feel, but they might want to read something that seems like it's not what I agree with, but it's crazy enough on a topic that I'm emotional enough about where I still want to see it. But then you got to quickly, you grab their attention that way, and then you may tease that, okay, there's something here that you want to know that you don't know. Mm. But you quickly have to find a point of common ground so they'll keep reading. Because people are not going to read a thousand words that they don't agree with from somebody who they think is now think is crazy because you think believe us.
Yep, 100% agree. All right, brilliant. All right, okay, so now, okay, you've dropped some brilliant knowledge here. Brilliant knowledge. Now, for everyone that's listening and who want to get more from you, Donny, and you know to get more of your knowledge, do you have a is there a way that how can they get more from you or the listeners?
Okay, thank you for asking. I'm so bad at sharing stuff. Okay, you can but go to my website. It's donny-bryant.com.
Okay,
D-O-N-I-E. Hyphen or whatever it is, bryant.com. If you skip the hyphen, you'll end up on a dentist's website. That's not me.
Okay, no, don't skip the hyphen.
He works much harder than I do. So that's where, like, I you can sign up for my newsletter if you like. Now, I already told you, I'm not going to sell you anything. So I don't have anything to sell. Sometimes I make offers, but it's like 3 times a year.
Oh, okay.
So you can do that, but don't be surprised if you don't hear from me regularly because I'm bad at that. And my website is almost all newsletters that I've written, but eventually they migrate over to my blog post. I'm too lazy to blog these days.
Okay. This is a lazy copywriter's approach, y'all. Lazy copywriter's approach.
Well, I'm lazy now because I spent 7 or 8 years working like a dog. So
there you go. You know, earned the right to be lazy.
Exactly.
Cool, man. All right. Thank you very much, Donny. You've dropped some serious knowledge here. Everyone listening, you know, if you want to learn from one of the top financial copywriters in the business right now, you need to go over to the Donny site and get on his newsletter. It's you know, the guy drops, he has so much knowledge about the market and what works with copywriting. He's definitely a guy to follow. He's someone that I follow, and I always pay attention to the things he talks about and writes about, because you're just going to learn solid gold. You're going to learn stuff that actually works. So that's why.
And I'll tell you some of the things that I do that are not working, because sometimes I embarrass myself.
And he embarrasses himself. What more do you want? He's funny. He's good for a laugh as well. All right.
Yeah.
And you see, you know, genuinely nice guy. You know what you're getting with Donny. No bullshit at all. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this call. Thank you, Donny, for coming on the call, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, man. I really appreciate it even more because, like I said, I'm a big fan and you've given me a great opportunity to just run my mouth for about half an hour, and I really appreciate that. Hopefully I said something helpful and was not totally
it's all very, very, very good stuff. You know, this is the most important part of marketing, the hardest part, you know, is getting that message. So all the information on this is really brilliant and will help everyone profit today, which is great.
Yeah, man. If they just realize, do a little extra work on the research, they've already improved their chances of making ridiculous sums of money.
Wicked. Brilliant stuff. All right, nice one, Donny. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Peace.
The Daily Profit Podcast, brought to you by top direct response copywriter Jason Wellington Strawn, a.k.a. The Copywriting Prince. Join the conversation at www.thedailyprofitpodcast.com. And remember to like and subscribe. Thank you.